This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
My name's Nicole and I'm from Brisbane in Australia. I was sick and tired of feeling sick and tired and had just begun yet another attempt at a non-drinking stint when I discovered the Over the Influence podcasts. The timing couldn't have been better. I binge listened to them all, joined the OTI community and have never looked back. If, like me, you've tried and tried to put down the plonk, but even after some success, keep finding yourself pulled back into the mire, join us in the OTI community, where we all share our stories of what works and what doesn't and where we're currently at. Everyone's just so full of understanding and inspiration. In a few weeks, I'll reach a whole year without a single drop, and I can't thank the OTI community enough. You guys rock and make all the difference in the booze-free world.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Hello, hello. That's two hellos. I'm very excited about this episode. You know who we are. We're Young and Sober. My name is Joey. I'm here with Charlie. Say hello, Charlie.
Hello.
All right. We've got a good episode today. Like I said, I'm excited about it. Charlie, take us in. What are we talking about?
Well, today, Joey, we're going to be talking about taking holidays as a sober person or holidays without booze. I've had plenty of, you know, drunk times on holiday that we don't need to go into too much detail about.
We don't.
But I've had a few holidays, obviously COVID allowing, since going sober as well. And yeah, the difference is just phenomenal, really. And the reason I might sound a little bit different because I'm recording, I'm currently in Spain, but I've just been in Morocco as well. So
you went to Morocco, you're now in Spain. This is an international Young and Sober episode, right?
International episode.
We're taking
Yeah, no. So basically, I've got a friend living in Morocco and a friend living in Spain. And so me and Tom thought, why not, you know, we'll go abroad. And I was really excited to go to Morocco because I knew that, like, the drinking culture was completely different. Obviously, it's a predominantly Muslim country. Like, drinking is definitely uncommon, like, frowned upon kind of thing. Like, you don't see it in most, like, restaurants unless they're, like, super touristy kind of thing. Like, they definitely have places where you can get alcohol, but it's, like, really taxed and stuff like that. So you just don't see that much.
It's just not the same, is it? It's not the same.
No, like, and walking down the street, like, late at night, you don't see, like, drunk people like you do in England. And I just found it a really different experience. It's funny because every morning, so we arrived in Fez, and I'd heard some like horror stories about Fez, that Fez was this kind of really intense, stressful city where people are always like bartering with you and offering you stuff, trying to get you to, like, because it's really easy to get lost within. So there's a Medina, which, like, that you aren't there, no cars are allowed inside, and it's really easy to get lost. There are loads of these like tiny little streets, and like, it's impossible because you can't even use Google Maps because Google doesn't even know about these little tiny streets, right?
Not like, even Google knows.
Not even Google knows. So, like, how the hell are you supposed to get around? Like, I don't know. We had a map and it's still hard, but then obviously...
Oh, that's old school. You had a map, like, on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
We're meant to be young and sober. Use your phone. But phones don't even work. Crazy. Anyway, sorry,
Google doesn't work, I tell you. But the problem is, as soon as you look like you're lost, everyone's trying to show you the way. Like, everyone's like, oh, come with me, I know how to get there. And then probably they want money at the end. Some people, actually, I would say a lot of the people are really friendly and just trying to help you out. But then some people are like, you know, taking your hand, like, come with me. And you're like, ah, no, I don't want to go that way.
Imagine that environment if you were drinking and they were drinking.
It would have been so dangerous. Like, if I'd gone there alone, and like, as a woman as well, like, I've definitely got a lot of like, looks and stuff, it's a bit more conservative. Like, I was definitely like covering up more, but I felt that kind of atmosphere, you know, like, it was, I did feel a little bit, not like unsafe, but like just like a little bit uncomfortable at times with like some of like the
just wearing
looks. I was a bit hypervigilant, I guess, in terms of that. But if I was traveling alone and drinking, I would have Well, I mean, I'm sure if I had gone to Morocco whilst I was drinking, I would have found a way to get alcohol, because it's not totally legal. You can still get it. I would have definitely found a way to get it, and I would have definitely got drunk. Like, there's no question about that.
Yeah.
But if that had happened, it would have been really dangerous, right? Because these people would be like, come this way, come this way. And I would have just been like going whichever way, like,
yeah, like, you're just so, like, you're more than happy to just follow people when you're drunk. It's like, oh, they're going, let's just go this way, why not? And you're not really thinking about it because you're drunk, you're drinking and whatnot. So many shit things can happen to you whilst you're drinking on holiday when you really think about it. So many things could go wrong.
Yeah, so many things could go wrong, like, when you're traveling on holiday and on holiday in general. So I think drinking just, like, adds that extra element of, like, oh, things could go really wrong.
Yeah, it just exacerbates everything, and it's like nice fun.
Yeah, but yeah, in Morocco, they drink a lot of mint tea. So obviously, I love mint tea as well. I have drunk like a fair bit of mint tea at home, but like they often have it with sugar, and oh my god, it's so good. Like, I'd never had mint tea with sugar before, and it's probably not, like, if you're drinking a lot of it, you probably shouldn't be, you know, having sugar in every single one, but it's actually delicious. And they, like, jokingly call it, like, sort of Moroccan whiskey. Like, they have it, you know, like a little shot, like a little sort of little tiny glass and like a little shot of it, and it's just like a little thing of mint tea. It's like so wholesome. And yeah, we stayed in this like beautiful Riad, which is kind of like a hostel, but I don't think it's like nice to call it a hostel, because it's more like, it's got this inner courtyard, and they like used to be the homes of like big families. So like everyone would live there, like the children, the parents, the grandparents, the uncles, cousins, blah, blah, blah. They'd live in this like kind of big building, and they'd have like these separate rooms, and they've sort of made it into a kind of, I guess Riad means sort of guest house, with a kind of central courtyard or central outdoor area.
Just a really fancy Moroccan Airbnb.
Basically, yeah, but it is like a hostel because there are other people there as well. But obviously, like, it's compared to like staying anywhere in the UK, like, it's very cheap, but also extremely beautiful as well. Like, if somewhere was that beautiful in the UK, like, the cost of living there is a lot lower in general, and wages are much lower as well. But like, if I was staying somewhere that beautiful in the UK, it would have been like a very, very expensive trip, and I am a very broke, quote unquote, broke student, so it was, you know, really amazing experience for me. And I found that walking down the streets, that there are like doors and tiles that are like thousands of years old, and they're still intact, and they've got like these beautiful patterns, and like a really common one is like got like a star or sun in the middle, and then like stuff coming outwards, and it's like kind of circular. And I guess it kind of like represents the universe, and it was amazing. And like, I did this walking tour with this guy who was almost like, I don't know, he seemed like magical. He seemed like, I was very like mystified by him. It was this really old guy, and he said that he had had an accident like 5 or 6 years ago. I think he got hit on the head, like something happened, he had a concussion, he lost a lot of his memories, he couldn't talk, and he'd relearned, and that he couldn't walk or anything, and he'd relearned how to walk and talk, and he was also like very well educated, and started doing these walking tours, and he was, you know, wearing long robes and stuff, and he was also like really funny and cynical and like philosophical, and like also not religious, which was interesting. Like, he kind of had a, because a lot of people there are obviously religious, and he had a kind of atheist perspective, but from the inside, like, that a lot of people there knew him and respected him and stuff. So
did he drink, this guy?
No. So
hey, big up also, this guy. See, that's why you were mystified by him. That's why,
because he was a sober champion. Yeah, no, and he was telling us all about the history, and it was just amazing. It was just stuff that I never would have really done if I was drinking, I think. And then we moved on. So we took quite a long bus to Chefchaouen, which is like known as like the blue city, which is honestly so beautiful. Everything is blue. Like, you walk around the Medina and like everything is different shades of blue. And it's like got this calming effect that I just can't really explain. Like, you can't, even looking at pictures of it, like, you can't really explain it until...
No, I've seen pictures and it's beautiful. It reminds me of like when you look at the ocean and all you can see is blue. And there's nothing but blue, and it's just so peaceful and beautiful.
It's so peaceful, and that was really how I felt when I was there. And that Riad we stayed in, was, again, very beautiful. The terrace was all blue, obviously, to, like, match the city. And you could, like, see the whole city around from the terrace. Mm. And that was more of, like, a sort of... There was a lot of English-speaking people there. There was a lot of, like, Australian people, American people, but also, like, people from all over Europe who spoke English. So it was a bit more, like, the classic backpackery sort of vibe. But made some really good friends there. And obviously, none of us were drinking. Like, we were all...
Yeah.
Like, I would get up at, like, 7 in the morning and go to the terrace, and there were these two other guys who would, like, be, like, the early birds as well. And me and them, just before the sun, like, rose over the mountain, we would, like, lie... Because they had these, like, big cushions on the terrace. We would, like, lie on the cushions in the shade, like, before it got really hot, like, when it was kind of cool. And we would just, like, chat about stuff. But we were all, like, kind of, like, half asleep, but, like, just waking up and having, like, really bonding experience, telling each other about our lives.
See, imagine how different that would be if you were drinking the night before. You probably wouldn't be up in the morning. Like,
no,
talking about
I would have been up at 7 a.m, but it would have been the wrong side of 7 a.m.
The wrong side of 7 a.m.
But also, like, it wasn't just that. Like, in Chefchaouen, it was so peaceful. I spent a lot of the time just sitting on the terrace in the shade, writing, reading, relaxing. And, you know, people say they go on holiday to sort of rest, but, like, if you're drinking the whole time, you're going to come back feeling worse. You're not going to come back feeling, like, restored and, like, you've had a break. You're going to come back feeling like you kind of haven't had a break. You've been actually on it. But, yeah, I did a lot. I think allowing yourself that kind of space to, like, relax as well. Like, you don't have to always be doing stuff and learning stuff and going to places and seeing the, you know, I think a lot of travellers want to, like, tick things off their list, and I'm a lot less about that. I'm interested and I like to learn, but I also like to take time to relax, and I think that's what I did in Morocco, and I met some really interesting people because of it. You know, just sitting down for a second, you start talking to someone from there and asking them about their life and what their life was like, and you find out some really interesting things. And I think these skills are things I only kind of learned since going sober, how to start those kind of deep, I guess, conversations without a drink in hand.
Yeah, like, I suppose that's one of the benefits of traveling when you're not drinking. Like we said, so many things can go wrong when you're traveling, and then alcohol just adds to all of that. But putting all of these bad things in reverse, like, you're going to lose things, you might have to find your way, you're going to lose your way around, it might be more likely to have an argument with someone if you drunk and whatnot. So many things could go badly, but when you're sober, it's basically spinning all of these, and not all of these things are much less likely to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you're less likely to lose your passport or to get completely
lost.
Oh my
god, yes, funny story about that. So this is actually when I was in the UK. I was out in a club in Birmingham, right? And I didn't have, like, a provisional, like, driver's license back then. So obviously, like, I used my passport as ID. And we went to this club that recently, you're, like, shaking your head already. And we went to this club. And to get in, you had to put all of your things on a tray and send it through a scanner, just like in an airport. It was maximum security club. It was crazy, right? And then I was obviously drunk before I even went into the club. And I remember leaving the club at some point and checking my pockets going, oh, boys, like, I've misplaced my passport. I don't know where it is. And
I've misplaced my passport.
What? I don't know. Someone might have stole it. I might have just put it down somewhere. I don't remember anything, mate. But imagine if that happened while I was in a different country.
Yeah.
What would I have done? Yeah. I don't even know what I would have done. It would have made things so much worse if I lost my passport when I was in a different country. Yeah.
Yeah, I do have a friend who, due to a drunken related situation, lost their passport in a different country. And I can confirm it was an absolute nightmare for them. So.
Okay, well, there you go. And at least now I know it would have been an absolute nightmare.
I mean, I lose things anyway, so there is always the chance that I'll lose my passport. So, you know, that I'm not ruling that out. Touch wood, I am still abroad right now. So, like, is there any wood around? Okay, right, touch wood.
You've got it.
I am still abroad, so I do not want to lose my passport. But also, like, there's, like, so many other positives of going, like that would be the opposite way around if you were drinking. Like, the daytimes are just so much better, like, when you're not hungover. Yeah. Which is something we talked about loads, but, you know, when you're on holiday, I think it really matters.
Yeah, imagine that, on holiday. You want to make the most of the time that you have there. You don't just want to be drowning in a hangover, like, no, I'm not leaving this hotel, I'm not leaving my room.
You literally know what I mean? You don't want, especially that. If the weather is really good and you're
That's
used to
saying.
The grey, miserable UK weather.
And you're so much more level-headed as well because of that. You know, you just feel I want to say awake. That sounds really strange. But you just feel more level-headed. Like, you're on it. You know what needs to be done. You can do it. And you can have fun while doing it.
Yeah, exactly. You're level-headed. You're calm. Like, even in my... Well, I'm an emotional wreck. And, you know, go back to the mental health episode if you want to hear all about that. But
nice plug.
I have these things anyway. So, you know, I do have these moments when I'm definitely not level-headed, even in sobriety, even with, you know, professional help, blah, blah, blah. But, like, oh, my God, it would be so much more dramatic if there was alcohol involved as well. Like, it has been. And I won't go into, like, details for the stories because, like, they're actually not even very funny. They're just a bit sad and, like, a bit, you know, heavy. Horrible. A bit heavy, yeah. Also, like, I feel like you forget things, like, you want to go on holiday to, like, make memories and take photos and, like, you know, have an amazing time. And when you're drinking, you just, like, I just forget most of it. Like,
Do you know what's funny you say about taking photos as well? Have you ever, like, when you used to drink, of course, did you ever go on a night out and obviously you're drunk and you're taking loads of photos and you look, and like, photos of yourself, photos of the place you're in, and you look at them the next day and you're just a mess in all of them, but you thought you looked really good at the time.
Yeah.
And you're taking pictures of, like, where you're at. And it's all blurry because you're just moving the camera around and taking photos. Yeah. You can take so much better photos and remember things so much better if you're not drinking.
It's such a superficial thing, but it's actually true.
No, like, it's genuinely so true. Like, I've looked back on so many photos from nights out and my face is, like, blurry. I'm, like, half in the picture, half out. And I thought that these were great photos at the time.
Or your, like, eyes are, like, rolling into the back of your head and you just look like a sloppy mess. Or, you know, you're having a nip slip moment, which, you know, nothing wrong with that, but...
It happened.
Not very Instagrammable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, so obviously there are, like, a lot of pros, advantages to being on holiday without drinking, but, like, things that you hear a lot is, like, what am I supposed to do without drinking? Isn't, you know, a lot of people see holidays as the time to drink. Like, what the fuck am I meant to do if I'm not drinking?
Right, which is strange because isn't that what you do here already? I think we've already mentioned this in past episodes, of course, but why would you go to a fancy location abroad at a really nice country with great weather and then just do exactly what you do while you're at home?
If you go into a different country, just sit in the same, like, in... Like, if you find a pub, you really, like, a bar you really like, for example, which I've done plenty of times. I remember I went to Cavos, classic party destination, when I was, like, too young, like, 16, probably. And there was this, like, bar that I liked. And I literally just used to sit in there drinking and, like, dancing. And, like, occasionally I would crawl from, like, the bar back to the hotel or the hostel, wherever I was staying. And that's, like, all I did. It's, like, I literally could have done that at home.
Yeah.
But, like, for a lot less money.
Did you say when you were 16 you went to this place?
Yeah, I know. It's
so
pretty
that's
crazy.
That's a story. That's just a whole other
Well,
thing.
In Cavos, like, and I imagine a lot of party destinations, like, no one's checking your ID. Like, you can go at that age. You just can. Like, a lot of people go at the end of their A-levels, but some people go younger. And I don't want... There are a lot of people who don't start drinking till they're 18, sure, but, like, let's not be naive.
Yeah, I
started drinking when I was 13, 14, like, and that's not... Maybe that's a bit young.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, it is crazy, but it's not normal.
No, it's not unheard of.
Yeah, it's not unheard of, exactly. So, like, it's a bit naive to, like, not direct this sort of at young people as well to say, like, well, they don't need to hear this yet because they're not old enough to drink anyway. It's like, well, no, they probably are.
But, yeah, like, you might as well just be at home if you're going to do the things that you do when you're at home. Plan activities. See stuff, go out and do things. Things that you might not have had the chance to do if you were drunk all the time. There is so many things you can do. Like, wherever you are, go on Google and search in things to do at this place. And it'll tell you.
For sure. Like, I'm in Sevilla right now, Seville in Spain. It's such a beautiful city. Just walking around the streets and, like, looking at the buildings and the colours and the architecture, like, I just find it so fascinating. And there are, like, we're going to go to the Fine Arts Museum this evening. We went to the cathedral yesterday. I went to the top of the cathedral and could see the whole city. It was, like, literally incredible. We've been eating loads of tapas. Like, there is so much to do wherever you are. Just having a little internet search. Or even if you want to go, you know, more old school, get, like, a little travel guide or a little history book.
Yeah.
Get a map. Get a real map. Print out a map.
I know, right? Crazy. Being spontaneous as well can also be a good thing. Like, it's important. Something that helped me, like, I've been on holiday before, even when I was drinking, and if I had activities planned throughout the day, drinking wasn't something that was on the forefront of my mind because I had shit to do. It was like, okay, I need to finish doing this. Now we've got to go to this place. We've got to get that done, go over to there. But as well as, like I said, don't overwhelm yourself. Be spontaneous. If you see something that looks good, don't just go, oh, that looks good, and then keep walking. Check it out. Go over and see what it is.
Yeah, we were just walking and we were going to go to, I can't remember where we were going to go, but it was closed anyway. So we were like, oh, okay, let's just walk around. And we found this Optical Illusions Museum, which obviously has nothing to do with Seville.
But like, that's so cool, though.
We went in anyway and it was sick. I literally loved it. It was so fun. It was trippy. My eyes were hurting at the end because I was like focusing so hard on some of the things.
That's how you know it's good. That's how you know. You know what I mean? If I go into an Optical Illusion Museum and my eyes aren't hurting at the end of it, like, I'm giving it a 1-star review. You know?
Yeah, getting my money back. Sorry, my eyes are not in pain right now. I'm not optically illuded. That's
nice.
Not a word.
Nice grammar. Nice words. But honestly, it's such a strange question when people ask, "What are we supposed to do? Like, what do you do without drinking?" I mean, the list is literally endless. If we were sat here listing all the things you could do, the episode would be about 2 hours long.
It would go on forever.
Right? And as much as I'm sure people absolutely love hearing our voices, you know, I don't think they want to sit here for that long.
No, they don't. They definitely don't.
But speaking of voices, funny enough, when you're traveling, even if you're alone, don't be afraid to chat to people.
For me, I find it amazing to talk to people because it gives me so much inspiration for, like, writing stories and like making characters and stuff, and like realizing how many different kinds of people are out there, but the fact that we kind of all share some kind of similar struggles in a way, and I think that's, you know, really, really beautiful. And I love to hear like the philosophies and the lifestyles and the beliefs of others, because it's just like we're going through the same stuff even though we're so, so different. And then, yeah, like, traveling is an opportunity to make friends, especially if you're, like, alone, or if you're in a couple, or even in a small group, like, and you choose to, like, put yourself out there. Okay, maybe you think it would be easier if you were drinking, and maybe that's true in a superficial way, but, like, once you're comfortable in your sobriety, I think you make much more lasting and worthwhile connections, and you have lasting and worthwhile conversations. Like, when the conversation gets deep and you're sober, it's like, oh, shit, like, I'm actually going to remember this, for one. And I'm opening up and being vulnerable and being myself without the influence of anything else. Like, I'm allowing myself to do that. It's coming from within me, you know? This is me. There are just so many ways to meet people, and it is hard. Like, I get, like, when people are feeling socially anxious, sometimes I'm not feeling like talking to anyone, and that's okay. Like, it's not something you get straight away when you quit drinking, I would say. Like, I don't know how you felt, Joe, but at first I was like, oh, God, all of my social skills and charisma have gone out of the window.
No, you do sort of have a little wobble when it's like, okay, I need to sort this out then. You know, what am I going to do now? But it's just about going outside of your comfort zone. And traveling, going abroad on a holiday and whatnot, that's a perfect time to do that.
Exactly, yeah. No, I think, so going out of your comfort zone is something really hard for me, because I used to be chaotic. I used to be so chaotic. And now I'm, like, really quite organized. So when something happens where it's out of my control, you know, like that, I can't plan it because, I don't know, it's too far in the future, or I can't plan it because we don't know what's going to happen that day. It kind of makes me anxious, but it gets me out of my comfort zone, and it really makes me, like, grow as a person. I think that's, like, super important.
Yeah, it's the dichotomy of control. There are things in life you can control, things in life you can't control, and you can't worry about the things you can't control. Focus on what you can do and do it to the best of your ability. You'll be proud of yourself. Honestly, most people, they're so much stronger than they think they are. The only thing that you need is someone to believe in you. Mm-hmm. Why can't that person be you?
Yeah, exactly. Why can't that be you? There's no reason for it not to be you.
There's literally no reason for it not to be you. Yeah.
And the thing about holidays as well is, like, obviously it is a privilege to have money to go on holiday, but we've really spent very little this holiday and are very frugal in general because I'm a student who doesn't really make any money. But, like, I think it's really easy to fall into the, I don't know, this is kind of unrelated to alcohol, I guess, but it's, like, about sort of career culture in general, which I kind of, which I kind of think is related to the alcohol, like drinking culture as well, is like you always have to be looking for the next thing, like reaching for the next step in your career, or, you know, being successful in some way or another. It's like success comes from the word succession, which means you want to get thing after thing after thing. And so I think because of that, it makes it easy for people to say like, oh, okay, I'm gonna get this promotion at work, and then I'll travel later, or then I'll like do this thing that's on my bucket list later. It's like, if you're gonna say later, you might as well say never. Like,
give yourself a chance. Give yourself a chance. You'd be surprised what you're capable of.
Yeah, and if it's something you really want to do, like if you really want to live in a different country or travel, or I don't know, like just experience something different, but you're like, oh no, but I should probably do this first. Like, there's no reason that you can't do that. Like, there's like, don't let something that you've always wanted to do take a backseat in your life. Like, I think that's what people look back on and they regret. They wish they'd had more of these kind of challenging, maybe scary, exciting, you know, kind of experiences. And I guess we are talking about holidays, but also talking about traveling and living in different countries as well. So there is a difference between all of them.
Yeah, there's always going to be a reason not to do something. There's always going to be a reason. Find a reason to do it and go and do it. You'll surprise yourself. You're so much stronger than you think you are.
It's Shaz from OTI, just taking a quick break from this week's amazing episode of Over the Influence, because we wanted to let you know that we have got actual merch. Yes, OTI merch available for shipping worldwide on our website. So we've got a budget of absolutely zero, which means we don't have any models showing off our stuff on the website. It is my massive face smiling in a t-shirt. And as well, we've got some rather fabulous mugs that you can fill with your fave brew or your booze-free tipple. Bring it to one of our Bring a Brew Zooms that we hold throughout the week, and we do these privately in our wonderful community. So if you fancy repping the OTI brand, have a look at our website, overtheinfluence.co.uk.
What would you say are some good, like, tips for traveling or going on holiday if you're sober?
I'd say it's a lot about the destination. Where you go matters. Like, plan it in advance. Just go on Google and literally search in good countries to go to when you're alcohol-free. You'd be surprised how many there are. Like, obviously, Dubai. Well, it's very expensive, but still. And the Maldives, however you
Maldives,
say it. Maldives, thank you. I've got that wrong so many times. Sweden is apparently quite good for it. Norway, Peru, Japan, Morocco as well. We were just talking about that earlier.
Yeah, there are so many places. Like, even like Peru, for example, if you're like climbing or something, like the altitude means you're not going to want to drink. You're also not going to want to like carry heavy alcohol with you and stuff like that. And
that's what I'm saying.
In places like Norway, like I went to Norway with my mum quite a few years ago when I was still drinking, and it was like £10 for a pint of beer. So like, we literally couldn't afford to get drunk, but we had like a really nice time.
Yeah, you sound surprised.
I mean I'm acting with surprise because I was surprised the time, but I'm obviously not surprised anymore. And all of the other people were in the same boat. They'd go, they'd have like one beer, pay £10 and just chat with their friends, and I was like, at that point, I had never comprehended that as a concept before. I was just like, what? Like, you go out and you have one beer and you chat to your friends for hours. Like, I literally can't understand that.
Who would have thought that's a thing people do? Wow.
And now I'm like totally sober. Like,
now I don't even want one.
Actually, in like 5 days, I'll be 18 months sober.
So. Hey! Woo! Big up Charlie in 5 days. Go on.
I'll put it, you know, I'll be posting it everywhere. And
you best had to.
But like somewhere like Japan, like one of our good friends and the vice president of SoberStock is from Tokyo, and I've always wanted to go to Tokyo, and I think it's just such an amazing place with so much going on that like you don't need to drink. There's not like people drinking everywhere, and it's just so different. And obviously it's really expensive to fly to Japan, so like I'm probably not going to be able to like afford to go there right away. Mm. But like it's definitely on my bucket list. And there are like I just think like in terms of choosing a destination, I think loads of cities in Europe can be good. Okay, there might be people sitting in the sun drinking wine with their lunch or with their dinner or whatever. But a lot, like the vast majority of places that I've been to anyway, the drinking culture is a lot less than the UK. Like,
oh, absolutely, yeah.
So basically anywhere else.
Just get outside of the UK.
Obviously, there are like places people specifically go to party. I would maybe avoid those.
Yeah, for like, sure.
The UK, I really think, is one of the worst for it. And I think getting out at all, if you go in with the mindset of, like, I'm not missing out, I'm gaining, then I think you can make something really amazing out of that. What about other tips? Have you got any other tips?
Well, I just wanted to say, like, just to emphasize that point, like, if you're going to New Orleans and there's a festival going on, that's obviously going to be a mad different vibe to just sitting outside of a bar in Italy with a glass of wine or something. You know, the drinking culture in England compared to other countries, you'd be surprised how many places you can go and not feel so much pressure to drink. It's not pushed on you. Yeah. And just knowing that going into it can make you feel so much better about going outside of your comfort zone and all that.
Honestly, like, going to Morocco was really, like, eye-opening for me. I was like, wow, I've travelled a bit. Like, I've been to India before and it was kind of similar there, but I was quite young. I was, like, 15 when I went to India. And just going now, like, with my sober mindset, it was like people would, like, talk about alcohol and I'd be like, yeah, I don't drink. And they were like, yeah, neither do I. And that was just like most people didn't drink. And I was just like, whoa, this exists in the world.
I like this place. Yeah.
What? Obviously, every culture and country has its like benefits and drawbacks. But like, it was just, yeah, a really eye-opening moment for me, I would say. I think another good idea, if you're traveling, if you don't want to travel alone, is like go with a sort of sober buddy or like...
Yeah.
Like, I often travel with Tom, obviously, he's my boyfriend, but he's not, like, a heavy drinker. If he was, like, I don't think we'd make a very good match for each other. So that always kind of keeps me a little bit calm. But if you've got, it doesn't have to be completely sober, but just friends that don't want to get wasted.
Yeah, friends that traveling, don't go hard. You know what I mean? Like, I have a friendship group that goes really hard, and I love them to bits. And I have a friendship group that doesn't go really hard, and I love them to bits. And knowing that, going, all right, who do I want to hang out with right now if I'm in a different holiday and they're all going to be drinking all the time? Maybe I should go with these guys instead. And
exactly, you know what, what's the situation? I love all my friends, but like, what's the situation? Like, is it going to be easier to travel around the world or go to on holiday with this person, or is it going to be easier with this person? And it's nothing personal. And I think honestly, like, if they're really your friend, they'll understand that. Like, if you're like, look,
100%.
I think we're looking for different things out of this holiday. I'm going to go with this person instead of this person. I don't think they're going to be like, fuck you, never speak to you again. I think they'll be like, yeah, fair enough. Probably right.
Most people are calm with it. They'll be like, okay, we'll meet up later then, yeah? And then you meet up the next day and they're all hanging and you're feeling good. And it's like, ha, told you. Nah, not really, just joking. But as well as that, like, sometimes if you don't know many people who are in the same boat as you and are just sober curious, you mightn't necessarily be sober yourself. Social media can help with that. There are so many people, so many pages on Instagram, for example, that have a little comment section and people will say, hey, I'm going to Glastonbury, but I don't drink. Does anyone else not drink and want to go together? And you'd be surprised how many people are out there. Like, we've spoken about this in an episode before, just to emphasize it again to make it relevant to holidays and whatnot. There are as well, I guess you would call them travel companies that are specifically about alcohol-free. There's two that I was reading about earlier. We Love Lucid and Sober Outside. They look lovely. Like, so lovely. Like, it's like a tight little community where they just organize a holiday and you just go and there's absolutely no pressure to drink. And if that's your thing, go for it.
That's really cool, to be fair. I literally learned about this today when Joe told me, and I didn't know that existed. And I was like, wow, that is a sick idea. Like,
right? I was reading about it, like, all at the, testimonials, I guess. And people leaving, like, reviews saying, I had such a fantastic time. Like, I went alone, and everyone there was in the same boat as me. I made friends for life. I still talk
That's
to people
really
today.
Nice.
I'm definitely going to go again next year. And I was like, yo, this is so sweet. I love
that
this.
That is cool.
It was wholesome.
No, that's so wholesome. And also, like, if you regularly go to like AA meetings, for example, a lot of, you know, they have meetings in a lot of different places that you can probably find, and a lot of them are on Zoom now as well. So like, if you can manage to find Wi-Fi, you can go to your normal meeting on Zoom, or you can find a meeting in that place. And like, that's another interesting way to meet people as well. Like, I had a very short sort of brush with AA, but when I went there, I met some like really cool, interesting people, and I really loved it. It was a young person's meeting actually. And it's quite funny because there's not like an age limit, obviously. Like, you just come if you think you're young, basically. And so there is a real range of ages. But like, there are also a lot of people like in a kind of 18 to 30 kind of age. And it's really nice. And I related to a lot of them a lot. And these meetings are sort of international. Like, you can, if you look for them, you can find them, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much more stuff out there for sober people than you think. I was reading the other day, due to obviously COVID and everything, people were drinking more than usual. And so when people said, oh, I can't wait to go on holiday, and they'd already been drinking loads, a lot of people actually showed interest in an alcohol-free holiday because they'd been doing nothing but drinking, and they'd been doing nothing but staying indoors. So they wanted to get away from both of those things.
Both of those things, yeah.
So it was like a sober holiday would be perfect right now. And so many people had showed more interest in going out and abroad and not wanting to drink. You'd be absolutely amazed at how popular this is getting.
No, that's so cool. And it does make me really happy that this is a movement that's kind of growing. Something else I find helpful is, like, I'm very sensitive and, you know, as we've said, a bit loopy. I don't know if that word's problematic, but I am describing myself. this is something I hear a lot in the AA communities, but also like a lot of different sober communities, is like, if you're feeling a bit shit and a bit rough and you're feeling like, oh, craving a drink or whatever, remember HALT. I don't know if we talked about this before, but HALT stands for hungry, angry, lonely and tired, and like, kind of checking in with yourself to seeing if you are feeling any of those things. Like, are you hungry? Are you pissed off about something? Are you feeling a bit lonely? Or are you tired? Like, sometimes all it takes is a nap for you to get over that, like, craving.
Yes, yeah. Is right. Have a nice little nap. That's actually good advice. No lie.
Like, I'm very sensitive. So, like, with me, like, in my little bum bag or whatever, I take, like, earplugs, I take an eye mask, I take some snacks in case I get hungry, I make sure that, like, if I need a nap, I can, like, if I'm feeling lonely, I'll try to reach out to someone, and, like, just asking yourself those questions, like, HALT, because it's a good word as well, like, HALT, like, stop what you're doing, okay, do I actually want to drink? HALT. Think about all those things first, and the likelihood is, like, probably one of them is coming before the fact that you actually want to drink, you know?
Yeah, that's really good advice. I like that word as well, HALT. It is good. That's nice. I like as well, whenever I travel somewhere now, I always take Huel with me. You know what Huel is? Like, the meal replacement, like, shake. It's basically like...
Yeah.
It's basically, you're like, you can take it with you anywhere. It's got everything that,
like,
you need to survive.
Protein and
all the macros, a lot of micros as well. And it's good for you. It's a lot of calories. Taking that anywhere with you on your holidays is such an easy way to get some food in, so you're not going hungry and whatnot.
Exactly, like high calories, high protein kind of snacks or whatever are always good to have in hand. And rest, like, take it easy as well. Like, you don't, like, there's like kind of two sides to it. Like, are you going for a boozy holiday or are you going for like a cultural holiday? Like, there can be an in-between where you're kind of, well, not in-between like as in drinking, but like an in-between where you do rest, but you do like fun things as well, cultural things as well. Like, there's, you don't have to cut off all nighttime like activities. Like, we went to see some flamenco last night and it was amazing, you know, and I wouldn't have necessarily done that. I thought I could do that without drinking, but I enjoyed it probably way more than anything I'd done before.
And yeah, I guess with all the activities and everything that we've mentioned, like, it can seem like a lot of work maybe, but just be kind to yourself. Don't burn yourself out. Don't overwhelm yourself. Like, yeah, like I said, be kind to yourself. That can help a lot too. Just something as simple as saying, oh, like, I'm getting a bit angry, I'm getting a bit tired or whatever. Well, you're planning out a huge vacation and you're going on holiday. It is going to be a lot. So
it's a little bit of stress, yeah.
Yeah, but so be kind to yourself. Rest.
Yeah.
It can help a lot.
And I think people worry... A lot of my friends say, like, oh, I don't want to lose the fun of my life when I don't drink. But I can say, like, with 100% certainty, I've had way more fun and a way better time and a way more rejuvenating, relaxing, fun, wholesome time on my sober holidays than my drunken holidays.
Absolutely.
And that is an absolute fact.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I remember I was going tubing once where, like, you're sat in this, like, giant inflatable ring that's, like, on the back of a speedboat, and the speedboat's just driving around super fast and you're just getting thrown left and right. If I was, like, drinking or drunk then, it would have been horrible. But it was honestly some of the most fun, like, experience I've ever had. Like, it was great.
I love water sports. I love the water.
Sick, right?
And surely nobody wants, well, people do, but like, I don't want to do water sports when I'm drunk.
Nah, it wouldn't be very, like, my, like, coordination and hand, like, everything, yeah, it wouldn't be very good.
It would be all off. But yeah, I've really enjoyed this episode, actually, and I'm still on holiday, so I'm actually flying home tomorrow. Sad face. And then I've got to actually focus on my responsibilities.
Don't be all up. But it's been a nice little escape for you, hasn't it? It's been fun,
yeah,
just going out, doing things. But yeah, I think all in all, there's so much that you can do on holiday without drinking. And it's going to be a lot better. You'll be more level-headed. You're less likely to worry about things. Things can go wrong, but in the absence of alcohol, it makes it so much easier to deal with them.
No anxiety means more positive vibes when you're out and about.
There you go. That's a quote right there. Write that in stone.
I think we can end it there. End it on that note.
Yeah, happy to end it on that. Yeah, thanks everyone for listening. We've got plenty of episodes that are already out. Feel free to share them all with your friends. Take a listen yourself. I've been Joey. I'm here with
Charlie.
Hey, that
we'll
was
be
perfect.
Back next month.
Thanks for listening.
Love you all. Peace and love.
Hello, it's Ben from Over the Influence. You made it all the way to the end of this episode, and we thank you greatly for it. I just wanted to quickly let you know that if you love Quitlet and want some kind of Quitlet on the go, then have you had a look at our Over the Influence blog? It's completely free, overtheinfluence.co.uk/blog. It's got listener stories on there. It's got articles about alcohol-free life on there, opinion pieces on there. It's really good. We're working really hard to keep it updated, full of fabulous sober content, because yes, you love listening to the podcast, but also we know that you love reading stuff too. Go and have a look, overtheinfluence.co.uk/blog. Have a good read through. There's loads of stuff now, actually, to go back to the back catalogue of our blogs as well, if you've never discovered it. And thank you again for listening to this week's episode. We love having you with us. We love shouting about sobriety. And of course, we'll be back same time next week. See you then.